Okay, let's begin. Mi'yutz Hashem, Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. Okay, I want to share with you today a few ideas, machshava relating to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let me start with an idea I saw, a mashal, I saw in the new Sefer HaLekach V'Aliv by Rav Avraham Shur. It is a very interesting mashal. In Nusach HaTfilah, we all say this part of Tfilah very slow, Din. That's a part of that part of that, the part of the section of this Chatzila. Say everyone very slowly. That's taken very seriously by most Sfatei Knesset Midrashos. Hashem is Soifa. He sees the Nistaros Biyoin Din Lekoine Avadav Badin. What do these words mean, Sir Rav? Sure, he gives a very interesting mashal. I'm surprised that this is not something I would expect to see by him, but this is what he says. He says that in the United States of America, and then before America came into existence, there was a slave trade. And how did the slave trade work? So we know that some very wealthy people would go down to Africa, would load up ships of African Americans. They would load up ships of slaves. They stuffed historical facts. They would throw onto a ship hundreds, if not thousands, of slaves. They wouldn't feed them. They wouldn't give them clothing. They just threw them into the bottom of the ship, and they crossed the Atlantic. They come to America, and half of them died. 80% of them died. 90% died. It didn't make a difference. A human being had no value. These people, in the eyes of these traders, had no value. And whoever would survive, the amount of money you can make by selling the survivors would be well worth it to make a profit on this endeavor. So you collect 1,000 people, throw them into a ship, you wouldn't even bother to feed them, send them across the Atlantic, take them out. New half are dead, half are dead, and the other half are emaciated. They're just skeletons, and they're barely alive. You take them to the market, and all of these wealthy landowners would come to the market. Look at these skeletons who are barely alive. They're up for sale. So this is a historical fact. The landowners would come to the slave market and would look at these skeletons, and they would look into their eyes, and they would see, does this slave have value? Does it have potential? If I'll fatten him up, I'll feed him and give him some good food and give him some exercise, will he develop into an able-bodied servant that I will have benefit from? And that's what they did. They looked at them deep into the eye to see what they thought, and if they felt that there's potential, sold. They put him up for auction, and the slave was sold. So he says that is exactly what's happening to us on the Yom Le'Ron. We come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emaciated. We have what do we have to offer? Molechet, full of chesronos. We're weak, we're tired spiritually. We come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom Le'Ron, and we're hoping HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look into our eye. Litzoyfe nistaros. We'll see this potential. There's something there. He'll look into us. There is something nister in this skeleton that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at. Oh, there's potential. There's hope. There's something that this person can accomplish. And then Hashem will lekoine avodav, will acquire us. Letzoyfen nistarois biyoimdin lekoine avodav badin. Very interesting mashal caught my attention. I wanted to share that with you. So let's go to another idea. And this idea, the Rambam in three places describes what he calls a wake-up call. Let me read you the words of the Rambam. The Rambam, everyone knows the Rambam, when it comes to the laws of Shofar, the Rambam writes, the purpose of Shofar is to awaken le'oirer es ha'adam, to awaken a person. Okay, let me read you the exact words. The Rambam, it's in Hilchos Tshuva, Paragim Lachadalit, V'zeh L'shoinei, af al pi shetkiyas shoyfe b'rosh hashanah gezeres hakosuf remez yesh boy. There's a remez. Kloimar oyru yishenim mishinaschem. Wake up from your slumber. V'nirdomim hikitzu mitird maschem. And those that are in a deep state of slumber shall wake up from mitird maschem.
Tardema.
V'chivshu b'maseichem, v'chivshu b'shuva, search out your deeds and return b'shuva, v'zichru barachem, remember your Creator. Elu hasheichem, those that forget eschoemes, Bahavli Hazman, Vashagim Kol Shnosan, the Hevel Rik, and those that let the whole year just waste away with futility, Asher Lo Yu'ilu V'lo Yatzil. He goes on and says, but the point the Rambam says is to wake up. The Rambam used the same expression of wake up in two other places. Here, Shofar, Hilchos Mezuzo, and by Avelos. What's Hilchos? Let me read the words of the Rambam, Hilchos Mezuzo. Chayiv Adam Lihizoyer B'Mezuzo, Bibnei Shichovas Hakol Tomid, the Cholzman Shiyikonets Vietse Yivka Biyichur Hashem Shmo Shalakalish Baruchu, the Yiskar Ahavaso, the Yor Mishnoso. You shall wake up from your sleep. Ushigiyosav Behavle Hazman, the same exact Losh Vieda Shein Dovar, Haimel Oilam, Lomi Oilam, Zenel lasts forever, Ela Yidias, Sur Oilam, except for recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you shall be aware. So the same exact expression, the Yeor Mishnaso. The only third place that the computer tells us the Rambam uses this expression is Hilchos Avelos. The Rambam says, Kol Zel Hochin, all the laws of Avelos are for what purpose? Why does the person have to go through this process of Avelos? Kol Zel Hochin Atzmo, V'yachzor, V'yeor Mishnosoi. Person shall go and go through the process of Avelos, all of the related halachas of mourning, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, to wake up from his slumber, V'harehu Oimer, V'harehu Oimer, he kisoy samvolei choluk. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but he uses the same exact expression: is the yeir mishnoso, to wake up from your slumber. So the question is, what is the significance that the Rambam in these three places uses the same exact expression that a person should wake up? So I'm sure he develops it in his way. He says, famous Chazal, that if a person realizes that the Yetzirah is overcoming him, he should do three things. First, he should try to put down the Yetzirah. If not, Yasek Batorah, should learn Torah. If that doesn't work, he should recite Kriyashma. And if that doesn't work, it's Yaske Lo Yoyim Hamisa. That's the famous Chazal. Try to overcome the Yetzirah. Again, if you can't overcome the Yetzirah, so be Yaasek BaTorah. Number two, recite Kriyashma. Number three, Yaske Lo Yoyim Hamisa. Rabbi Shua says that very interestingly, that these three things are exactly capture this Mishnah, this Halacha. Because what is the purpose of blowing the shofar? So we all are very well from Rav Sad, you go, one of the reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a reminder of Matan Torah. Vayhi kol ha-shofar holich v'chazek ma'od. The kol shofar was very loud at the time of Matan Torah. So blowing of the shofar is a reminder to learn Torah. If that doesn't work, what's the next thing to do? To recite Kriya Shema, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. What does it say in the mezuzah? Shema Yisrael. V'yahafta and v'hoya im Shemaya. V'ikah Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim are here in the mezuzah. If that doesn't work, Yazkir Lo Yoyim Hamisa. What's Yoyim Hamisa? The laws of Avelis. Okay, that's one mahalach. I was thinking another similar mahalach that when it comes to there's a concept in among the Darshanim of Olam, Nefesh, and Shana. There are three realms. There are three major dimensions in this world. There is Olam. There is space. There is Shana, time, nefesh, person, soul. This is standard, run-of-the-mill. Olam nefesh, the world is divided into three spheres. There is physical space, there is the concept of time, and there is the concept of person, of the soul. These three examples represent a transition in olam nefesh and Shana. When you come into the bias, you're coming into a new space. going between your door, your exit, exit and entry point of your bias, is a transition between your private space and the world. It's a dangerous transition. When you leave the comfort of your home where you're sheltered, everything is taken care of, and you go out into the world, you have to be very careful to make sure that you're not nichshol and doing any averis being swept away by the Yetzer Hara. It's a transition of space. Rosh Hashanah is a transition in time. Every year, Aleph Tishrei, we now enter into a new tekufa of zman, of time. The world is divided into units of years. The beginning of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a new time. When we go through this transition of time, we have to awaken ourselves to make sure that we do not get swept away by the forces of the Yetzer Hara. Avelos, when a person loses a relative, when a person is in a matzav of avelos, that is a wake-up call that his guf, the neshama, also goes through a transition. The neshama is here for a point of time, and then the neshama goes away. When a person has a relative, a relative's departure is part of himself. It's part of transition, yeah?
You said that time corresponds to Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah, you're correct.
But in the earlier analogy, it was Kriya Shema.
In the early analogy, Kriya Shema, I don't understand. That was the Mahalach.
I'm sorry. No.
So the point I want to make is that it's a very interesting idea when you when you put everything together in perspective.
Okay.
What it really awakens us is that Rosh Hashanah is a transition moment. It's very hard to really put your finger on the pulse. What exactly is Rosh Hashanah all about? But the Rambam, by using this same exact expression in reference to mezuzah and a reference to avelos, opens up for us an understanding that the key focus of Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, is we are now going through a transition in time. We're entering into a new tekufa of time in our lives. There are three major transitions a person goes through. The neshama goes through a transition, comes into this world, the guf, the body, the human being. Person's body comes into this world and leaves this world. A relative dies. When a relative dies, part of yourself is gone. That's a mitzias. Avelos is not just the person who's left us left. The person in you, every person, a family, a member, seven relatives, it's a part of you. It's part of your own neshama has left. There's a transition that takes place in Avelos. When it comes to space, the other sphere in this world, that's your bias. When you go from your home out into the world, you're going through a transition in space. There's a mezuzah. The mezuzah reminds you, wake up! Don't just continue on autopilot. You have to realize you're going through a major transition in space. Rosh Hashanah is a transition in time. That's a frightening thing. It's not just another day. There's a Yom HaDin. It's more than that. We're now coming to a new tekufa in our lifetimes. And this tekufa is something which requires us to wake up and recognize it can't be the same. What was, what will be, has to be an entirely different level. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. What's the difference between Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah and Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim the entire year round? Let me give you an example to illustrate the point I want to make. The night of Pesach, the most famous Shtikl Torah, the night of Pesach is, what's the chilek between the mitzvah of Zechiras, Yetzias, Mitzrayim, the whole year round, and the mitzvah of Zechiras, Yetzias, Mitzrayim, below Pesach? What's the difference? Well, Pesach, it's all about Man Shana Zimikal, Shvachol, Zanachum, Chamisanatza, we go through Parasitis Mitzrayim, Bavuzeh, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The whole year we have Yitzias Mitzrayim. Like, this is the most famous Shtikl Torah. And the most famous answer is that on the whole year round, we just remember what happened. On the night of Pesach, we relive the experience. Okay, that's one of many, many answers. The same way you can ask that question with regard to Pesach, you can ask the same exact question with regard to Rosh Hashanah. every single day of the year, we makabel all malchus shemayim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. Rosh Hashanah, the Iker Avodah Rosh Hashanah is malchios. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. We blow shofar to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech. We acknowledge, we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. What's the chilek between Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah and Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim the whole year round? So to answer this question, I want to give two examples. Example number one. It used to be in Tam Chazal, you did not really know if it was Rosh Hashanah. Before the calendar was set, it was the 30th day of Elul, and the 30th day of Elul could really possibly be the first day of Tishrei. What will be? Well, we have to wait to see if witnesses observe the new moon the night before. If witnesses observe the new moon on the 30th day of Elul, and they would travel to the Beis Din and they would testify, and the Beis Din would determine that the testimony is correct, then they would declare today is going to be Rosh Hashanah. This can take hours. It might very well be that right away, that night, if we get lucky, someone will show up right away in the evening. But even the first couple of minutes, it's not going to happen immediately. And some years, it seems like it took until the morning. And there was that fateful year when the witnesses did not arrive until late in the afternoon. And then they determined, yes, witnesses are here. Okay, today is Aleph Tishrei. And that means retroactively from the night before, it was Rosh Hashanah. And because it was such a tragedy, because they already said the shir for chol, they didn't want this to be a repeat performance, so they go masakim, they're only going to accept witnesses until a certain point in time. But even after they made this takana, people did not know, Klal Yisrael did not know if today is Rosh Hashanah until the middle of the day. This year the moral is, so it's really later. Interesting year. Interesting. So this year would be later. It really would have been later. It would have been a day later this year. So what is that? Now that is a fascinating insight into the Yonah, because all of the other Mo'adim, at least in Yerushalayim, it's known with absolute certainty when the holiday begins. Pesach is the 15th day, or the 14th day of Yishalach on Pesach. Shavuos, it's 50 days afterwards, after Pesach. Sukkot, it's the 15th day. Yom Kippur is the 10th day. All of the biblical holidays, you have advance warning. You know exactly when it's going to be. There is no suffix. Rosh Hashanah min HaTorah is extremely unique. In that Min HaTorah, you really don't know. You really don't know. Since Min HaTorah, you Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah, it might be a cloudy evening. And even if it's not a cloudy evening, there's a process where witnesses have to come, and they have to be interrogated, and that has to be determined by the Beis Din. The average person, and even the Beis Din, we don't know. The day begins, and we don't really know, will today be the day of Hayayim Har HaSoilon? It's something which is a suffix. There's no way you can make that determination if today is going to be Rosh Hashanah. In other words, you can't really prepare. You only can prepare for something in life if you know it's coming. You can prepare for something in life when you don't know it's coming. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. Shluch HaKan is called the mitzvah kala. It's a lightweight mitzvah. Why is it a lightweight mitzvah? What do you mean lightweight? People today pay a lot of money to have a professional take them to mechanic the mitzvah. Because the answer is, Meikar Hadin Ki Yikorei Kan Tzipar Lefanecha Baderech. It's a mitzvah that you can't prepare for. It just happens by chance. Absolutely. The whole essence of Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, which you can't prepare for. It just suddenly comes upon you. Yay, it's approximately going to happen either today or tomorrow. But even that small degree of uncertainty is enough to take away in the person's mind. We're so delicate, we're such delicate creatures, the ability to properly prepare for an event coming forward. Okay, now let me give you the other example. On the Minig Yisrael, this is from my Wolfson, he says over in many different forms. It's a very beautiful idea, and he uses it in many different ways. What is the Minig Yisrael? Where does the Shliach Tzibu begin to say the word HaMelech for Shacharis from? Not from the Bima. He says, whoever he's sitting, by the Shliach, the Baal Psuka de Zimra concludes the end of Psuka de Zimra, and then he has a Nigun, and he enters into Hanover where? Wherever he's sitting. If he's sitting in the back, he says in the back, sitting wherever, and then he comes forward. He called the opening Melech, the opening Avod of Rosh Hashanah, is to call out HaMelech, not from front and center, but from wherever you are. It comes upon you. All of a sudden, you're not ready. I'm sitting in my seat. The Shliach Tzibur has to go all the way to the front. All of a sudden, HaMelech, you're caught by surprise. In other words, what is the whole Avod of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah about? It's to be mekabel all malchus shamayim without preparation. Wherever you are, the kabbalas all malchus shamayim. Going back to our original question, what's the difference between kabbalas malchus shamayim the whole year and on Rosh Hashanah? The whole year, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's part of an order, a seder. There's a bracha, you have baruch, then you have birchas yotzer, then you have the bracha havarava. You build up, there's a crescendo, there is a seder, and now we come to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. There is hachana, there is preparation. You plan to be mekabel the melech in a proper way. There's order. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is a person should prepare to be mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, even when you're not prepared. Even suddenly, you have to be on guard. You have to build yourself up that even if someone will wake you up in the middle of the night, on the spot, you can give them the answer. You can be mekabel omal chul shemaim ki yikari lefanecha kan tzipa baderech. Sudden, even at a sudden moment, I have the ability to be mekabel omal chul shemaim, to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when you're not prepared. Now, what does it mean you're not prepared? It means you're always prepared. My father once told me, Father Zechariah Rochman once told me, the name of Irving Bunin. He taught them homiletics in RJJ. He used to come every Sunday and teach the boys homiletics. And he said to them, never speak if you're not prepared. And never be unprepared. So in other words, when you go to an event, you're not sure, will they ask you, will they not ask you, those other things, we have to speak. Basically, be prepared, even though they never asked you to speak. Because you never know, never speak if not prepared, and never be unprepared. In essence, that is what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is, don't ever be unprepared. Because you never know when suddenly you'll have to declare Kadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. The whole year round, hey, give me some time here. Let me get into it. There's a Birchas Yotzer, Birchas Havaraba. We're getting there. Oh, now I'm ready, Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. Rosh Hashanah, the whole essence is, Ki Yikari Lefanecha Kan Tzipar Baderech. All of a sudden, it comes upon you without warning. There's no way you can possibly know. The Shliach Tzibur says, HaMelech. I saw also, he says, that's why you say Uvechein four times or five times, different Nuschos. Uvechein in the Nusach. Why? Because where does the word Uvechein come from? The Megillah. What did Esther say? Uvechein Avoy El HaMelech Asheloi Chados. I'm not, it's not my time. I'm not prepared. I'm not invited. It's out of ordinary. That's what the avodah is. Uvechein, you have to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu even when you're not prepared. Meaning, what do you mean not prepared? What does it mean you're not prepared? It means you're always prepared. It's a much higher level to be in a state of readiness. It's a much greater intensity because you never know when it'll come upon you. But right away, be ready for that moment.
Excuse me. Here also in the Davnum say, "I'm then Kim El Melech Kadosh Kadosh."
That's not a statement. That's not the Kabbalah. Kabbalah's all Malchus Shemayim. You have the word Melech. Every bracha you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. Every bracha has the word melech.
Say every day.
Okay, let's go to another idea, another short idea. What's the difference between the avod? What's your person's focus? The difference in his focus between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur, you say, chet, okay, it's all about chet, chatos, yirisi, pashati, Rosh Hashanah. You don't really focus on chet so much, even though we do say, that's another whole shmuz. You say, you don't say, but what should a person's attitude be to differentiate between his avod on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So there are two people who taught the world tshuva, according in Chazal's point of view. Who are the two people who taught the world tshuva? Adam was the chait etzadas. Adam did tshuva to some degree. Adam learned from his son Cain and Hevel, Cain taught Adam Harishon tshuva. Chazal elaborated Adam Harishon did tshuva. Adam learned from Cain that there's something called tshuva, and he did tshuva for the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Okay, then there's another tshuva, the tshuva Reuven. What was Reuven's chait? Reuven took the bed of his father Yaakov and brought it into the tent of Leah. After Rachel died, Yaakov took his bed, his couch, and put in the tent of Bilhah, the maidservant of his wife, Rachel. And then Reuven was very upset. Reuven and Yaakov was upset. You have no business deciding where my couch should be. And Reuven, the pasuk describes this in very harsh terms, that Yishkar Reuven is Bilhah, that Reuven lived with Bilhah. Chazal tells us there's no such thing. That's not the way you read the pasuk. There are many interpretations. But Reuven went and he did tshuva. Chazal tells us that's why Reuven was not present at the time when the Mechiras Yosef. Reuven was busy doing tshuva in his sackcloth and his mourning to do tshuva. What's the chilek between the tshuva of Reuven and the tshuva of Adam Harishon after the chait? The answer is Adam Harishon clearly knew he did an avera. There was no room to budge. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem told him, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. The chait was clearly defined. Adam knew what he did. That is half the battle. Reuven, on the other hand, could argue, I didn't do an Avera. I did a Mitzvah. I stood up for the kavod of my mother. And I'm within my rights to do this because she's only a shifcha. She's not a full-fledged wife. And I didn't really do anything wrong. The chait of Reuven is a chait that's not clearly defined. It's something which has to be uncovered. Only a person that's true to himself will recognize that his deeds, his actions, could have been and should have been better. So the first to explain that really is coming between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is a much harder Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is easy. Because Yom Kippur, you're doing tshuva. Your focus on Yom Kippur is to do tshuva for things that are clearly wrong. You've done averos. You know you've done averos. Just acknowledge the averos and do tshuva for the averos. The avod of Rosh Hashanah is to realize that your good deeds are really not so good. What you think, the mitzvah, semais and tom, that you think you're doing l'shem shemayim l'shma, are not necessarily l'shma. You're doing it for ulterior motives. What you think is a mitzvah is really an avera. We don't say on Rosh Hashanah chatos yavisi pashati because we're not dealing with actual sins. That's for Yom Kippur. We're dealing with analyzing things that we consider to be mitzvahs, and we look at them again through a different lens. Perhaps they're not mitzvahs. Perhaps there's room to be mishaper. That's why Shofar comes from the word mishaper, to beautify. Our good deeds can really be done on a higher and a better level. Okay, let's go to one more idea. One more idea. There's a pasuk in Shmuel. When Shaul died and Yonasan died, David HaMelech delivered a beautiful hespet. And he began his hesped with the words Shmuel Beis, the beginning of Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph. Vayikoinein David es hakina hazois al shohul v'al yehoinasan b'no. How did he begin his kina, his lament, for the death of his friend Yehoshaphat and the king Shaul? Vayomer lelamed bnei Yehuda koshes. The time has come where bnei Yehuda have to be taught koshes. What's koshes? Warfare. What about warfare? Archery. They have to how to be taught how to be good soldiers. And the Lord of Arjun said that the chosen form of military battle was to be an archer, to know how to shoot a bow and arrow. And you have to know how to do this. It's said all over Chumash Sefer Yashar. Somebody refers to Sefer Chumash Bereishis. Sefer Hayashar is all the brachos of going out to battle. Yadcha be'oyref, all in the Farshim called the pasuk. Yadcha be'oyref oyvecha. Your hand will be in the oyref, in the back of your enemy. I'll read you the Mitzudah Stav. He says it very clearly what this pasuk means. Let me just find the pasuk. Vayomer. Terem hiskul kaidin ro la'ametz libois anoshav. Before Dov began the actual words of lament, he first wanted to strengthen the heart of the people. Lehisyayish milaharim roish mul pelishim v'omar lochem hinei bohoes. The time has come. Lelamed es bnei Yehuda koshes. What does that mean? Milchama, to teach them warfare. Everyone has to go out into the army. Shehem yiskabru al pelishim hinei ksuva haloi hadavah ha'hua hinei ksuva al sefer hayashar v'hi ha'toyrah. Sefer hayashar is the Torah. Shneim arba Yehuda ata yoducha achecha yaducha you Yehuda, your hand will be be'oyref in the naple. The nape of the oyvech of your enemy. V'nemar yodov rov lo. This is the Sefer. It says Sefer HaYosha refers to the entire Torah according to the Targum. This is the Brach of Moshe. Yodov rov lo v'ezer mitzraf tiyeh. And he goes on to explain the mitzudas. Goes on to explain v'chein hayodov v'chein hayoki David hechniam v'gamalchi Yehuda acharav. Okay, maybe it's the Radak. I can't remember where I saw this, but the idea is that when you an enemy runs away from you and you want to kill them, they're running away from you. So what's towards you? The back of their heads. When you shoot an arrow, the arrow is aimed at the back of their head, at the oyref oyvecha. Your hands are pulling the bow in order to shoot the arrow that it should hit the back of their head. Okay, that's the Pasha and the Pasik, what David is saying now that our great warrior Shaul and Yonasan have died. We have to train ourselves in warfare to be prepared for the enemy, the Pelishim that are coming against us. And don't think what I'm telling you is irreligious. The Torah sanctions young men being trained in the art of warfare. Very posh of Shah and the Pasuk. However, Darshan and many of Darshan, the Yitav Panim and many others, they develop this Pasuk differently in reference to Rosh Hashanah. Because the word Koshes is Rosh Hatevos, Tekia, Shvarim, and Trua. The Kof is Tekia. Okay, that's how. That's how they have it. That's how that Tashrat. Because the Ikar syllable of the Kof is Tekia. Tekia. That's the primary syllable. The Shin is Shvarim, and the Tav is Trua. So, what is the pasuk telling us? The drush of the pasuk, after the death of Shaul and Yehoshaphat, after their death, their departure, we're in a lot of trouble. We need to be trained in Tekia Shvarim Trua. Tekia Shvarim Trua represents the concept of the Koyach HaTzvila. Where is the Koyach? Let me just go in circles. Well, let me just bring out some of the points and we'll come back and play all together. Where is the Koyach? What is the blowing of the shofar represent? Okay, this is Pashut. The blowing of the shofar represents the Koyach of Tfil, of prayer. We know from the story of Yaakov telling Yosef, I'm going to give you another portion from the land of Eretz Yisrael, which I have acquired. There the Targum says, with my koyach atzila. There are two types of tzila. There's a tzila called cherev and a tzila called keshes. The tefillah of cherev represents the tefillah of the koyach atzibur. And when you daven it with a minion, even just holding the sword is dangerous. The koyach atzibur of keshes represents a tefillah of kavana. Because when you aim with, when you have a bow and arrow, the most important thing to be trained in the art of archery is aim, kavana, to properly aim the bow and arrow in the right location in order for the arrow to shoot to the proper, the exact location and inflict the greatest harm. The koyach of tefillah that is captured in the concept of keshes is the koyach of tefillah with kavana. That is the avoda of our Rosh Hashanah, of the blowing of the shofar. What it represents, it represents the concept of the Shbaruch Hu does not need very elaborate and eloquent words. Dibor HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the sound to come from the pnimius, from the person's heart. There shall be kavana. Where does it teach us the concept of tefillah bekavana? Sefer HaYosha. According to most of the Mefarshim, Sefer HaYosha refers to Chumash Bereishis. Who's Chumash Bereishis? Why is that called Sefer HaYosha? The Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In Sefer Bereishis, we find all three of us praying fervently. Avraham, Vayashkev, Mavoyker, Vayalamokam, Esher Omat Shon. Avraham was mispal with great kavod on behalf of the Anshei Stoim. That's what we learned. That we learned in Koyach Atzilo. Yitzchak was mispal by Yitzchak. Yitzchak lo suach basode. Yaakov Avinu, when he came, he was going to meet Esav. Vayir Yaakov mod vayitzelo vayachas sayeladim. And afterwards, vayida Yaakov v'delemar. And he goes on to give forth a very elaborate prayer. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will save me, I will reciprocate and do good for you. The Koyach Atzilo was taught the Klal Yisrael in Sefer Hayashar by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that is something which has to be taught the Klal Yisrael. That is what is called Vayomer Lelamed Bnei Yehuda. Klal Yisrael has to be taught koshes. Has to be taught the Koyach Atzilo. The Koyach Atzilo is captured in the shofar. Tkia Shvarim Turah. Hinei Chesuva Al Sefer Hayashar. It has been given over to us as the Messer from the Avos, from the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we need this now more than ever after the loss of Shohol and Yehoinasan. Every year, when the year is over, it really represents a concept of loss. Because the previous year had opportunities. And Shohol, Chazal tell us, was on a higher madrega than David. Shohol, that's what Micha, we learned today in Divrei Hayam, Micha criticized David, your behavior is not befitting of a king. My father never would have done this. Chazal really tells us that she was right to a certain degree. Shohol was Mishichmo Ulamalo. There was no one in Klal Yisrael like Shohol. He was in a very high madrega. Problem was, he was in a too high madrega for Klal Yisrael. When the year is over, it's a year of lost opportunities. And those lost opportunities is something which gets us frightened. And what frightens us is to go forward. What are we going to do when we no longer have those opportunities and those things that we had in the previous year? Just like here is David's Mekoyne in the loss of Shol and Yehoinasan. If we had with us the Kiddush of Shol and Yehoinasan, we would be in a better situation now. Same, every single person, when the year is over, there's a loss. And that loss requires us to respond with the next pasuk of Yomer, Lelaneid Bnei Yehuda Koshes. The only solution to replace the loss of the previous year, the opportunities that are no longer with us, is the Koyach HaTfilah, Tekia Shvarim Teruah, and this has been given over to us, Hanik Suva Al Sefer HaYosha, from the Avos, the Yesharim, in Chumash, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, with that we will conclude. Thank you.